Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. The game we had to win, we have drawn it. Newcastle United 1, Norwich City 1. Michael Collin, Kyle Thompson with me to talk about it from our headquarters in the centre of Newcastle. We've all been to the game. We've all got lots to say. Mickey Collin, you think that's that for Newcastle United this season?
Yes, it is. We're done. It's finished. We're relegated. I'm saying on the way down from the ground, we should start selling the players now. Start selling the ones from the wage budget that aren't going to fit next year, that aren't going to do the job next year, because it's finished. We're done. We're a poor side. We've not won a crucial game at home against a team with one player more than us that we were better than for most of the game. And I don't know, you know, if you kind of beat Norwich City at home when they play like that, like they were shocking. If you kind of beat them when they play like that, who do you beat? Who do you beat? You know, like somebody did in a WhatsApp group, somebody did like a run of the fixtures through the week saying what we needed to do to get to 40 points. And it would be a miracle if we got there. And that was winning a lot of games that we're probably not going to win. But it obviously included winning tonight, and we haven't won tonight. I mean, we shouldn't even talk about the context, because there's no context. Like, we are relegated after not winning today. It's as simple as that.
It's not just the night, though. It's like we failed to beat Leeds at home, West Ham at home, Southampton at home tonight. Like, if you can't beat any of those at home, you're going to be relegated. But really, like, got to call a spade a spade. There's a lot to be positive about in terms of a couple of individual performances, but we need results, not positives. Do you know what I mean? Like, and as I says in the preview, what it took a 90th minute goal off Joelinton's arse, left cheek, to win the game. But Newcastle went from Steve Castle to draw Castle. We cannot stop drawing games, and we cannot win any games either. So I agree with you, Mickey. Sadly, I think that's we need a couple of losses in January and prepare for the championship next season, because I think that's the final nail in the coffin. Like,
we've said a couple of times, we're out of free hits. We've lost all of our free hits. Bruce has lost all of our free hits, and we don't want to talk about him anymore, because this is a game that any manager should win. Doesn't matter who we bring in after Bruce, anyone should win this game. There's more to it than that, obviously, and we're going to come on to that in a second for what happened in the 9th minute, but we haven't won. Like, we just haven't won, Alex. Like, you tell me if I'm wrong, because I think that I'm right. There is nothing more to it. Newcastle had to get 3 points, and it's not just 3 points in this game. That's the thing. That's a crucial thing that we're not talking about yet. It's not just 3 points, because it's 3 points for us and it's no points for Norwich, or it's 1 point each. Like, it's so massive, and we haven't done it. And, you know, where are we now on the table? What's the points difference between us and Leeds?
Leeds are in the 90th minute of their game against Crystal Palace, and we are six. We're no worse off in terms of trying to catch Leeds than we were before the game.
Still 0-0 now.
Still 0-0. I disagree with you, lads. And I'll say this. If the players and the coaching team took your attitude, I would be unhappy. That we're done.
Yeah, but
there's no point.
Like, but it
has to be a united effort. It has to be, I think it's highly unlikely Newcastle will stay up, but I'm not throwing in the towel. I thought Newcastle played well tonight with 10 men. I can't fault a lot of what Newcastle did tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Newcastle are a poor side. Norwich are a poor side. Burnley are a poor side. Leeds, Watford, Southampton, arguably Brentford, are all really poor sides. All right. Now, Newcastle had to win tonight. I don't deny that Newcastle had to win tonight. We go to Burnley. Let's go to Burnley. Let's beat them. let's beat them on Saturday and let's see how we're feeling. Let's see what the league table looks like. There's no point feeling sorry for ourselves. And that's what I feel a lot of the fan base is doing right now. And I get it, because we're fucking turn up. Week in, week out. How many people, by the way, said they would take a relegation to get rid of Mike Ashley? It's just something worth considering while we're feeling this sorry for ourselves. The support tonight at St James's Park, the period between half time and Newcastle getting the first goal, is the best support I've seen in a decade. In a decade, at least. It was special to witness, it was special to watch. It was fans and team pulling in the same direction, and that means something. And listen, I can't keep turning up after podcasts like this saying everything's going to be fine. But we knew what we had to do this week, and we had to win both these games. Now, we haven't won one of them. We'll have to go and win on Saturday. We'll have to win on Saturday. And I'm going into that match. I'm going to head into that match with that mindset. I'm not going to head into that match thinking, well, what's the point of turning up today? What, it doesn't matter. Let's not even get behind the lads because it doesn't matter. We're already down. No. Let's go and beat Burnley. I mean, Burnley play this week as well, so that, you know, there's a lot of teams left to play, unfortunately for us, as we've now played two games more than Burnley. But if we go and beat Burnley, there's a chance we'll get off the bottom of the Premier League. There's a chance. And once you get off the bottom of the Premier League, you can look to 18th place. And if we beat Burnley, let's see how this team, who transformed themselves, by the way, at the back end of last season after a couple of wins. Now, I'm clutching at straws. A lot of straws have to be clutched at here. But I'd rather sit here and clutch at straws and do this podcast with you lads and think, you know what? I've seen enough from Newcastle United in these past three matches to suggest that we're going to win some games this season. Let's go win some games this season and let's see where we are. I agree with you, Mickey. It'd be a Herculean task to stay in the Premier League now. But I'm up for giving it a good fucking go.
It was a Herculean task before Brentford, though. And we said before Brentford, we had to win all three home games. We didn't win the first one. We drew the first one. We shouldn't have drawn the first one. We should have won the first one, but we drew the first one. And we said after that, right,
yeah,
like, we might get something at Arsenal, but we have to win the next home game. We have to win the next home game or we're fucked.
Yeah.
That's what we all said. And we haven't won the next home game. Now, you're right, Alex. Like, I'm not throwing in the towel. Me saying that we should sell the players now is a ridiculous suggestion. I don't actually believe it. Obviously, I'd be absolutely foaming if we started doing that. It would be ridiculous. But, like, we have to face reality here, mate. Like, seriously,
I'm facing reality. Leeds have scored. Leeds have scored.
Honestly.
Let's face reality now, lads.
Face reality. Take it back, mate. Like, come on, mate. Like, we'll have to be realistic here about the chance of Newcastle United. Well, there is a chance we could stay up. Let's not lie about it. There is a chance, but it would be the footballing miracle of all the footballing miracles.
But if there's any football club that can pull it off, Mickey...
It's not us, man. It's not us. We never get anything positive. We never get anything positive.
Takeover, look at that. What are you talking about? Nothing positive.
Look at that.
Ashley's gone.
Look at that. I know, but we had to suffer 14 years of absolute misery for that. For us lads as well, in this room in particular, through like the peak football and supporting years of our lives, where we're
best
young
years
enough
still to come, mate.
Where we're young enough to be able to go to all the games without any responsibilities, but have enough money because we have a job to be able to afford to go to them all. Yeah. We couldn't do anything positive because of that.
Oh,
you just have to.
All right, yeah, it's a penalty. It was a penalty.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there was a pen for the other team. You're killing us here, mate. I just, you know, like, I mean, it would be a miracle, but Newcastle United don't get miracles. We're not that team. We get the bad luck. We've had the bad luck today. You can see it on the pitch. Teemu Pukki, right? Teemu Pukki had one period of about nine games where he was unplayable for Norwich and scored loads of goals. And since then, garbage. Like, he's been garbage
in the Premier League,
and then he hits that one off the outside of his right foot in the top corner. Like, come off it. He doesn't. He could take that chance 100 times, and he misses 99 of them. But it goes in against Newcastle, obviously, and with Norwich's only chance. It just feels like, I don't know. It's obviously so easy to be pessimistic, but it feels like the stars have lined in there against.
We'll have to be realistic. Okay, we'll have to be realistic. It's not about being pessimistic or optimistic for me. It's being realistic. If Newcastle go and beat Burnley, we're back in the conversation, all right? We're back in the conversation. Now, it's easier said than fucking done, as we've proved to ourselves time and time again this season. Kyle, your fixture analysis is spot on. After we played Burnley, we'll have played five of the bottom six at home. And if we beat Burnley, we'll have won one of them.
One of them, aye.
That stinks of relegation, all right? But let's, like, Newcastle played against 10 men for nearly 90 minutes tonight, including injury time, 90 minutes. We didn't get beat. That's important. I was thinking, sat there at half time, thinking, you know, draw's no good. And then, you know, you look at the table and you think, you know, I think we're a much better side than Norwich based on what I've seen tonight with 10 men v 11. I think Norwich are going to get relegated. We'll have to be much set up, a better side than Burnley, than Southampton, than Watford, those kind of teams, than Leeds. You know, can Newcastle United go to Leeds and win? Yes. Can Newcastle United beat Burnley? Yes. Can we go to Leicester and win? Maybe. So it's hard, and I am clutching at straws a little bit, but let's just go win Saturday. Like, we've got the rest of the season to do this. We've got the rest of the season to hold the funeral. Let's just go and beat Burnley, and then we'll talk.
What if we don't beat Burnley?
Oh, yeah, no. If we don't beat Burnley, it becomes an almost impossible task, because if you don't beat Burnley, there's nothing to suggest that you can beat Leicester, that you can beat Liverpool, Man City, Man United, or even Everton, and then you're 19 games without a win, and half a season's gone, and it becomes impossible.
Third time in a row we're saying that, though. It is.
It's the third time in a row we're saying that. I just think, even for the purposes of this podcast right now, you know, we can have this conversation on Sunday when the picture is a lot clearer. It's not like last week where we go to Arsenal and everyone kind of expects we'll get beat. Yeah. We'll know if we don't beat Burnley, I'll call it now, the team is getting relegated. But let's see what happens. If we beat Burnley, if we do some of the things we did well tonight, if we got some of the same performances, the best team is now fucking forcing itself on Eddie Howe because of the performances of some players in some positions, and we'll talk about that in a bit. It was a massive missed opportunity tonight. We shot ourselves in the foot with the mistake by Kieran Clark, which we're going to talk about imminently. But we didn't get beat. And that team in that performance in that game 3 weeks ago to me crumbles, and they didn't crumble. And we saw big performances from big players yet again. And that, to me, is worth clinging on to, at least for fucking 3 days. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying give us 2 months, lads. I'm saying give it 3 or 4 days. Let's go to that match against Burnley and let's see what happens. Because the players and the manager are going to have to take that viewpoint. We cannot afford them to come into training tomorrow and feel sorry for themselves. Because Eddie Howe, I don't think, is that kind of manager.
No, he's not. But the players don't have the right to do that. They are the ones that have got us in this position, along with Steve Bruce, along with his coaching staff. Like, they don't have the right to feel sorry for themselves and to be disappointed. They need to work hard to make sure that it goes better on Saturday. And I'm sure they will, and I'm confident that they will. Like, I am, but I just don't. I don't have it anymore, Alex. I don't. Like, we've been here twice before, 2 weeks in a row, or 2 weeks in 3, where we've come out of a game where we had to win and we knew we had to win and we didn't win. Like,
not saying it's going to be easy, lads. Not saying it's going to be easy.
So it's just frustrating, because like, there's been a couple of games now where we've been the better side, at home against weaker teams, and it's just not falling for it. It's individual mistakes, it's silly errors, it's just not falling for the look. Like Steve Bruce got last season, for example, we could do a bit of it now just to get a result, but like, it's just not falling for it any way, shape or form. Like,
I'm just curious about you and the context, Alex. Like, we all agreed, you included, that we needed 2 wins and a draw with these 3 home games, right?
I mean, you know, one win and 2 draws, it's it's a couple of points you need. And when you don't beat Norwich at home, you have to go to Leicester and win. You've got to go to Everton and win. You've got to go to Southampton on New Year's Day or whenever it is and win. You've got to take points from games and take wins from games that you wouldn't ordinarily. Spurs away becomes a game that you have to target, and you have to think we can't just go there and do what we did at Arsenal. It's not going to be easy. Newcastle are bottom of the Premier League after 14 games, deservedly bottom of the Premier League. Yeah. You know, other teams have lost more than Newcastle, but no one else has won less. It's a mammoth task. All I'm saying, my own perspective, I'm not going to get too down, because we'll have a massive game on Saturday and it's pointless. And I can, even if we beat Burnley, there's still a fine argument to be made we could get relegated. But the picture will be so much clearer in 3 or 4 days' time, whenever that fixture is. Forget what day it is today. I'll have those conversations with myself, but also the listeners of this podcast. Then we're going to move on to part two of the show now. Some adverts coming up. If you don't like the adverts but you like the True Faith podcast, sign up on Patreon, £5.50 a month. Lots and lots and lots of extra Newcastle United content, and it keeps this free show going. So we'll speak to you after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Part two of the True Faith podcast. Kyle, we've done 13 and a half minutes and we haven't mentioned Kieran Clark. Would you like to change that now?
I hope it's the last time Kieran Clark plays in a black and white shirt. What an absolute disgrace. For me, this was Kieran Clark's chance because a lot of fans were saying Federico Fernandez should come into the fray. Clark should be dropped for his recent performances, but Eddie Howe stuck with Kieran Clark. And he's let his manager down, he's let his teammates down, and he's let the fan base and the club down as well. What an abysmal, abysmal mistake. And then even worse, getting yourself sent off. It's absolutely mental. From a player that I've got a lot of respect for. He did so well for in the championship. He's been a steady head for so long. But he hasn't been the same player since he got knocked out in Ibiza, like. He hasn't been the same player. He's just an absolute cart horse, and I don't like slating players, but for me it's like the tail of old jelly. You've got to take the dog out in the field and shoot him, I'm afraid. Like, that's got to be it. Wow. He's got to go. He'd be one of the first out the door in January. Like,
can I put this to you? Okay, I'm furious about Kieran Clark. Brainless. Let him. It's fucking like it's a lad who, you know, is hit one tonight, and it's a great goal, a great finish. Anyway, defensively, it's poor from us, of course. Let him through. Like, give your goalkeeper a chance to rectify your error. All right, so it's shocking. I see a lot of this from what you've just said, Kai. You should never play for the club again. It's like Kieran Clark in a back four in the Premier League in 2021 is a madness. Okay. You should never have been selected. I think it's a bad team selection. Yep. I'm not excusing Clark, but I also think this you should never play for again. Who are we going to, you know, when we get injuries, when we get suspensions, like we've got, who are we going to play at centre back? Emile Kraft, Jonjo Shelvey. Like, there's a reason Clark is here and still gets games, and it's because the players that are competing with him in his position are also not very good.
Fernandez is miles better.
Oh, he's miles, you know. It was the cheer when Fernandes came on tonight from the Gallagher. It was a little bit like, you know, Eddie Howe got fantastic support tonight, but it was a little bit like, you know, this is what the fuck. I wanted to talk about this later on, but I'll talk about it now. And I said this before the first game against Brentford, I think on a Patreon podcast. I said the problem that Howe has got, he cannot come in and make the kind of mistakes a new manager makes in trying to work his team out. He picked Dollar for the first game, cost with a win. He picked Kraft and Richie last week. Maybe not cost with a win, but cost with the two goals against Arsenal. And he picked Clark tonight. You could argue it cost with a win.
Definitely cost with
a win. Now, he's made lots of other very, very good decisions. Very good decisions. We might talk about that a little bit later on, about some of the form and the position and the whatever of the other players. The selection of Kieran Clark, when everyone I know tonight, when they saw the team sheet, thought, Kieran Clark, what the fuck? Yeah. Everyone I know against Brentford when they saw Cardola and Gold thought, what the fuck? And everyone against Arsenal when they saw we're going to play a flat back four with Kraft and Richie, they thought, what the fuck? Now, like you say, Mickey, the performances of Fernandes, Manquillo and Lewis tonight, albeit against much more limited opposition, make those decisions look even worse. And I'm not trying to say Eddie Howe should have done this or should have done that, because hindsight's beautiful. and he hasn't been here that long, and he has to take the advice of coaches, he has to take the advice of senior players, and he is trying to find a solution that works both attackingly, in attacking sense, defensive sense. That's another bad call tonight, picking Kieran Clark. It's a bad call.
Who's he asking? Whose opinion is he getting to pick Clark ahead of Fernandez? Honestly, who was he asking? Who's
Jones?
Well, it's Jones, isn't it? Yeah, that's the answer. That's what I was getting at. Like, who other than Graham Jones and Steve Bruce that has been watching the performances of Kieran Clark and Fedo Fernandez for Newcastle United thinks that Clark is a better defender? Especially in a two.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Clark, he can win a header. He's fairly comfortable on the ball.
He's not.
He's fairly comfortable on the ball apart from tonight. But I can't fathom picking him in a back four. I just saw that tonight when the team came out, and it was just one of those head scratching moments. Like, what? And it looks so bad because he's done such a bad thing. It looks so bad for Howard, isn't it? But you have to, like you said, Kyle, we have to be honest. It was a bad, bad mistake by the manager, by the player. I don't know this stuff. We might need him to play. So Howard's going to have to get him right in the head and work with him and improve him at least till January. But we've got fucking 6 or 7 fixtures until we can sign anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and he might be needed again to play for Newcastle United. It's not just you, Carol. A lot of people, in fact, it's probably the majority of fans are saying he shouldn't play for the club again. And we're all angry and I get it, but we might need him to. Yeah. So there's no point, like, what's happened. We need to get behind him next time he plays. And I'm sure.
I will 100%. I just think, looking back on that game, he's it's such a big game. Like, a lot of people calling this the biggest league fixture for us in a long time. And after 10 minutes, he loses the ball like that and then brings Pookie down like that and gets sent off. And even then, he's hoping VAR pulls him out of it. And he's standing on the field looking like lost before the referee sends him off properly. And it's just, I'm so angry at him because he set a decent standard at the club, and it's just so reckless from him. So it's disappointment, really.
It's disappointment, and it, I hate doing this because you're right. I know you're right. But I also think a player signed for £5 million from a relegated Aston Villa to get us out of the Championship in 2016, like a few others in this squad, like, you can be angry with them, and I'm angry with them, and I was angry with them during the game. And then you just think, this is the years of mismanagement, like in front of our eyes, coming back to bite. And it's not he's picked them, but it's not Eddie Howe's fault that most of the players who beat Norwich City in October, or the 30th of September 2016, are still playing for Newcastle today. That's not his fault. It's not Kieran Clark's fault, really, that he's put in that position. I honestly think that even if Clark doesn't do that tonight, he still has a poor game because he's not good enough to play in a back four in the Premier League.
Not having it. I'm just not having it like that. It's a schoolboy mistake. You learn it. You learn it so early. It's such an early point in the game. If someone's passed you that early in the game, let them through.
Yeah.
Let them through, and you play the game. You don't get sent off.
Like, I'm not trying to excuse just, what he's done.
It's unprofessional.
I'm just trying to contextualize it.
It's unprofessional. There's no other words for it, mate. Like, it's so bad. It's so bad. I honestly didn't have the words standing in the ground. I just looked at him and thinking, like, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. And I've played shite Sunday League standard football in the Northeast for 15 years. Like, I'm obviously, like, unfathomably worse at football than Kieran Clark. I wouldn't have done that. And, like, he should know. There's no excuse. And, like, he's been here for too long. He was signing the Championship. He signed the Championship. The Championship's a good standard of football, man. You don't make that mistake.
I'm just saying, he's just not good enough. Even if he hasn't
shouldn't do that in the Championship. You shouldn't, shouldn't do that in League Two. You shouldn't do that in the Northern League of Football. You shouldn't do that playing Sunday League football for the Villa Victoria, man. It should not happen.
Shout out.
Not a real team, dead Raj team in Sunday League. But you shouldn't do it. 9 minutes in, shouldn't pull him back and give records.
That was centre back.
Should never do it.
Of course he shouldn't. And of course he shouldn't. And it's inexcusable. It really is. But I just think, like, listen, if Newcastle win tonight, they're still 19th in the table. And yes, we're talking about fucking staying up and all this kind of stuff. I think the selection of Kieran Clark, regardless of how it is absolutely Kieran Clark's fault, I think it's another terrible selection from Howe.
I agree with that, for sure. Selection. Because for all that was slating Kieran Clark, I think Fede Fernandez deserves all the praise in the world because he came on and he was absolutely brilliant. He proved to the manager, he proved to the fans, proved everybody he should be in that team, because he showed more in their 80 minutes than any centre-back has for Newcastle this season. So, Ferdy Fernandez, if he's not starting Saturday, serious, serious questions need to be asked Eddie Howe and his team, because he was absolutely fantastic tonight, like, and 100%.
It's a good point, mate, and we will have a full Burnley preview for patrons, but Lascelles comes back. I agree with you. I think Shaw and Fernandez... What I liked about Shaw and Fernandez, we may as well move on to the part of the show now where we'll look at some positives, much to Mickey's disgust, is that Shaw and Fernandez tonight, they almost grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. They were positive in the way they, you know, they didn't let Norwich players, like basically like against Brentford, what Lascelles and Shaw, and I can't think who played the third.
Kraft
did, was it Kraft? You know, what they did there was they let the Brentford forwards dictate. They let, you know, the Brentford forwards wanted the ball to bounce, it was allowed to bounce. If they wanted to take it on the chest, they could take it on the chest. Fernandez and Shaw tonight thought, no, if the ball comes into our part of the pitch here, we're going through the back here, we're getting our head to it, the ball's going back the other way. I thought that was really impressive. And it was necessary, by the way, as well, because Norwich really struggled to maintain a lot of pressure on us. There wasn't, like, long periods of being seed, you know, hemmed in at the back. And I thought Fernandez and Shaw were probably the reason for that, mate.
I agree. I completely agree. You're right in calling out Howe and his decision to pick Clark, because it was so obvious. 80 minutes of the game, we're defended well with 10 men, and that's even against a team that was poor as Norwich, that's a hard thing to do. Really hard, and it's something that we haven't done well for years, but we haven't done well under Howe so far. We haven't defended well in the middle of the park, and we did do it with less kind of...
personnel.
Less personnel and less defensive options in front of the back four, so that's... It's massive, and those two, for me, I mean, it's been obvious for years. We've said it on this podcast for years. Those two are our best two centre halves, and those two should be the ones to play. It's worrying to me that it's the first time under, you know, we've had two games under Howe. He's had 4 weeks as manager or something. The first time that we've seen those two at centre half is when Clark's been sent off and Lascelles is banned. Like, because those two would have played, wouldn't they? If it was up to Howe, I think it would have been Lascelles and Clark. Probably,
I think Shaw would have got a game, but
if we're going to play a two, but maybe not if you didn't get in last week, though.
It's not just the back, it's not just centre backs, is it? We've seen two full backs come in today who are a lot of Newcastle fans. Well, for a start, they're actual full backs, unlike Murphy and Richie. And Kraft, not even part of the conversation for me. You know, Kyle, what did you think of Lewis in particular? Someone we haven't seen very much. What did he make of him?
I did want to speak about this actually. I thought Lewis played really well, because there was a lot of they really struggle to nullify Max Arons, which, by the way, what a brilliant little player he is. If Newcastle are looking to buy players and buy a right back in particular, he's the type of player they go after. But I think Lewis dealt with him and the winger quite well. I cannot remember who the winger's called, because Todd Cantwell didn't play. But it was 2-on-1 situations a lot of the time. Maxi didn't track back a lot of the time. I think even Hayden was moved to the right in the second half to try and nullify that. But Max Arons had a fantastic game, and I think Lewis managed him as best he can. I think in comparison, I think Richie would have had a nightmare against him. So I think Lewis has made a good account of his selling. I think he should play in more games for sure. Manquillo, I think Manquillo did decent, but he's been a steady Eddie all season, his Manquillo, and I don't think he should be in and out of the team. He should be starting, because he's not going to get you 9 out of 10s every week, but he will get you a 7 out of 10, and I think steady and consistency is exactly what we need, especially defensively, given how bad we've been this season.
Both Lewis, the massive difference, particularly with Lewis, because Richie, in my opinion, is so bad in that position, particularly in the flat back four. You know, simple balls that in behinds just get headed out for a throw-in, whereas Richie and even Kraft and Murphy are like so susceptible to balls in between themselves and the fullback, or literally just over their head, that they're both so slow, Richie and Kraft as well. Mankiw and Lewis don't struggle for pace, they're not rapid. Again, I just think I don't want to be too critical, Eddie Howe, and we will come on to a few positive things. And I think the team has improved since he's arrived. He's been very lucky with the COVID situation, of course. But he needs to pick his best back four moving forward, like you say, Mickey. And those two fullbacks, and they'll make mistakes, by the way. They're not perfect, like you say. They might have the odd bad game. We need a settled back four. Howe has come in, he's played a back five or back three, and then he's gone to a back four, and he's stuck with a back four, so there's a bit more consistency there. But, you know, the number of defensive changes is similar to what we had under Bruce, and it just simply doesn't work. He needs to play the same back four. I agree with you, Kyle. He needs to play the same back four that finished tonight on Saturday. I don't think he will, but time will tell. Mickey, any other positives to you? For now? I mean, do you want to give the lads some credit, Mickey, for the way they perform with 10?
Yeah, I do. And like, if you take the context out of the performance was good. Like, it's hard to play in the Premier League with 10 players, and I thought we did it well. We looked like the better side for 55 of the 80 minutes where we had of normal time where we had less players on the pitch. We did. We threatened them more. We looked positive on the break. We held the ball well. I thought Shelby was absolutely excellent again, which is weird to say. There was one moment
even defensively was really good.
Exactly. There was one moment in the second half where he played a pass from kind of deep right position, just outside their box across the pitch, and someone on the left hand side, I forget who it was, lost the ball, and Shelby sprinted 60-70 yards to our left side of the box to make a block. And that's something that I've not seen in Jonjo Shelby ever for Newcastle United. I was really shocked to see it. And so it's so
it's
positive.
Good to see him stand up.
It is. And if he can bring that into his game, he can be a massive asset for Newcastle United. And he's shown that he can do it. He just needs to continue with that.
I mean, he's outrunning Willock. I mean, this last season when Willock was banging in the goals, you would never have thought, next season Jonjo Shelby's going to outrun Willock.
Never in a million years.
Yeah, I've slated Shelby for a long time and critiqued his work ethic in particular, but I kind of felt that he was absolutely brilliant, and he's been probably one of our best players since Howe came in. So fair play to him. Like, he's been really good, and his passing range is improving, and his work rate's there, and his stamina's surprisingly there, but it's there, and fair play to him.
Yeah, fair play to him. Alex, I know you want to take the lead on this one. Joe Linton was magnificent. Yeah,
like you say, Kyle, players we've slated, Joe Linton tonight was absolutely brilliant. And this is the thing, he wasn't brilliant in an attacking sense. He didn't do loads. He had a couple of decent shots in the first half, but he didn't do loads that, you know, influenced the game at that end of the pitch. But defensively, and the work effort he put in, and he was, like, they were all tired by the end. You know, Shelby was blowing by the end, understandably so. I don't think that's a fitness issue. I just think, you know, you're playing in the middle of the park like they did for nearly 90 minutes with 10 men, you're going to get tired. Joe Linton was knackered at the end, but he was putting it in. And his confidence to bring the ball out in difficult positions really put Norwich in the back foot, so much so they stopped pressing him as much on the ball. They pressed everyone else, pressed Mankio on the ball. They pressed Shelby on the ball. When Joe Linton had the ball, it was very much a case toward the end of the game. They were like, he's just going to beat with here. He's just going to beat with and bring it out. And they were giving him space to pop it off and stuff like that. So the thing about Joe Linton is, been very bad for a long time, and people, myself, have questioned his work ethic. How in 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever, has transformed him to have a really good game and score a goal, and also his work ethic is up there. He had a bad game on Saturday, but so did everyone. I just thought he was a leader tonight. I thought he was a leader again. I thought Shaw, Shelby, Wilson tonight, Fernandez as well, were leaders on that pitch. They were constantly talking to their teammates. They were constantly telling them what to do. And Joe Linton was the same. And he, more performances like that could only do him good. I think one of the most promising things about tonight is he'll be fucking class in the championship.
He'd look 40 million in the championship.
If we're going to talk about the context of the game, right? Like that, we're really unlucky not to win. Like, I don't think we've played badly. I don't think we played massively well, but we've limited Norwich to just one.
I thought we played, for a team with 10 men, again, I thought we played well.
We did play well. For a lot of the game, we played well, but for, I think, 30 minutes, we struggled. We dropped off too early, in my opinion, but we can disagree on that. That's fine. But Norwich have only had one chance. They've only had one chance.
Two. It was that save from Darlow, which they should have won the game.
Yeah, correct.
Really should have won the game. That was Shaw there. Like, that's the thing, isn't it? This is the difference, actually, between Clark and Shaw. Shaw does that, overcomplicating the fucking last minute of a game. It's a terrible mistake, but he doesn't bring him down. He doesn't give a penalty away. No. He lets him run through, and he gives Dubravka the chance to pull him out the shit, and he does it.
Yeah, probably at that point as well is where you want him to bring him down. bring him down, get the red card. It doesn't matter because it's so late in the game. But, like we've both, me and you have said, Pookie 99 times out of 100 misses that chance because you're not very good. Like,
the only thing is, Mickey, the defendant's so bad. Like, when Dubravka saves it, like, every Newcastle player moves towards the ball and just forget. Like,
yeah,
I know we've got 10 men, and I thought we're great with 10 men, and we defended really well. But the fact that Norwich have got like two lads, like, in just outside the 6 yard box unmarked, it's just just not good enough.
Yeah, when they're only playing one up front and you've got two centre halves. Yeah. It's Fernandez. Fernandez is the left hand side of centre half there. He's had a good game other than that, but he someone should be on him. Just get on him. Make it hard for him because he's, you know, he's not fucking Ronaldo. If someone stood 2 yards away from him, he swipes it and he misses. Mate, simple as that.
The defence do deserve to be critiqued because there was a lot of ball watching, but the ball that goes into the box before the goal actually goes in, I think Dubravka should be doing better with that.
Yeah,
mind. Because he tipped it, like he's tipped the ball into the box, just on the outside of the box, and they've obviously put it back in and scored, but I think he should be either tipping that out for a corner or even trying to catch that because he caught harder crosses in the game.
Well, but it wasn't hit the target, was it, either?
No, like, it wasn't. It was nowhere near the goal. So it's a disappointment.
But he doesn't know that, does he? He's not doing... If he thinks it's going out, he's not doing what he does.
He collected a lot of great crosses and I thought he played relatively well in later, Bravka. And
this is again another problem, right? And I'm not just trying to hammer how again. If Dubravka has an extra game against Brentford, do you know what I mean? He's played more first team football. You know, these decisions have consequences, and it's like this, they ultimately have cost us. You know, the Brentford game, if we beat Brentford. What I want to see, and this is why I cling to a bit of hope, I want to see what this team play like after a win. I want to see what they play like with confidence. Look at a player like Joe Willock tonight, who, by the way, did fine after the when we went down to 10 men. He put a shift in, he did what he could, he played well, I thought. But I feel like Joe Willock needs a win, like more than anyone else.
Yeah.
I feel like Alisson Maximan needs a win more than anyone else. So, you know, let's see what happens. But he's got to pick his best team and give the players a chance with their best players in the right positions to get that win.
I just find it really weird that we're looking at the team selections and we're picking out players that just shouldn't have been anywhere near for so many games. Now I wonder how. Like, I didn't, when he was appointed, I didn't expect it to happen. I didn't expect to be looking back at the Arsenal game and thinking, why the fuck's he picked Emile Kraft? Like, again, why are we having to question why Emile Kraft's getting the team again? Surely he was found out under Bruce. Surely. Yeah. And then today, like, why is Clark in the team?
Yeah.
Why is it happening? And why are we in this position where we're questioning the manager again? I didn't want to be here.
One thing is, and this is the problem, Mickey, isn't it? It's easy to look past the positives and look at the negatives. So Joe Linton's a massive positive. How has transformed him? Shelby completely transformed. You could even say Fabian Schär on the whole is completely transformed than what we saw under Bruce. The you know, he has made a lot of good decisions since he's come, but the bad ones have really cost us. And that's the thing, isn't he? He's learning the hard way. What you've got to hope is that he's taken these lessons on board. So Kraft was hooked tonight. Great. That's what you want to see, a manager learning from those mistakes. Kraft was hooked. Joe Linton back on the wing tonight. That's what you want. That's what we want.
Start in the middle of the park, like Joe Linton started through the middle.
Yeah,
Wilson on the right.
He did. Though I think it was a genuine 4-2-3-1, and I think
those were fluid. They were fluid.
They were fluid from three.
Yeah. No, I agree, and that's the difference, isn't it? Like we know now that Howe will learn from the mistakes, and he will make the necessary changes, which does give you a bit of confidence. And it's massively different, but he has to learn from quite a few mistakes now, in my opinion, and he has to put it right immediately. We've said it 3 or 4 times already this season, and under Howe, we've said it twice. No more free hits. There is no more free hits. Nobody can argue. If we don't win on Saturday, there isn't a person in the world that could argue that we aren't getting relegated. Nobody at all. There isn't, though, is there? Come on. Unless we pull out
Burnley.
Top.
Ask me after Burnley.
That's what I mean. If we don't beat Burnley at the weekend, it would take like top three form for us to stay in the league.
Yeah. All right, I think we'll leave it there, lads, on that cheery note. Thank you so much to you two for heading down here post game. It's late at night. Thanks to everyone for listening. Really appreciate it. We'll be back with the Free True Faith podcast after Burnley on Sunday. Tune in for that one. It's going to be a massive show either way. Thanks very much. Ta-da.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.